Now, one word of condemnation here in verse 4. Now, I'm going to change the reading here in order to get at the meaning. Nevertheless, I have against thee that thou hast left thy best love. Now, actually, we are beginning to think that the Lord Jesus is just picking at peccadilloes, that it seems rather slight, seems to be trivial, petty. Is he being picayunish here when he says that you're leaving your best love? Well, may I say to you, it may seem very slight to you and me today, but it was very important then, and it's very important today, and we're going to see why it was so important. And this is where the church first went off the track. Not on doctrine, but in a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus. Now, Ephesus was a great city. It was one of the great cities of that day. And it was a great commercial center. It was a great religious center. And it was a great political center. But this city was a seacoast city at that time. It's not today. The little Meander River has silted in and filled in the harbor that actually it's about 6 miles from where it was in the days of the original Temple of Diana, because at that time the waters lapped up at the very base of the temple. In fact, it was built in a swamp. And then later on, this temple burned down, and then Alexander the Great led in the building of the one that became one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. We described that last time. It was probably the greatest center of heathenism that has ever been on the earth. It was the largest Greek temple ever built, 4 times larger than the Parthenon in Rome, and it was, of course, a thing of beauty. Paul had a great ministry there. The impact of that ministry can be seen actually in the ruins of the city. There at the entrance to the harbor, because Lysimachus moved the city to higher ground, and the ruins we see there today are those ruins of that city, the city that Paul visited. The harbor had moved way far down, and it was a very small harbor, but the ships of that day could get into it. And you landed at the foot of Harbor Boulevard, a great wide white marble boulevard that led right up to this great theater, and along the way there were temples and lovely buildings. And then there were 4 great towers that were built there, 4 great monuments. One to Matthew, one to Mark, one to Luke, and one to John. That shows that the gospel had made a tremendous impact in that area. And there are other evidences of it, where pagan heathen temples were later on turned into churches. And the church in Ephesus became a very prominent church. Paul founded it, and then John the apostle became pastor later on. Now, we saw last time that there were 7 words of commendation that the Lord had for this church. It was the best church of all. It represents the apostolic period up to about 100 A.D., to about the death of John. It was the church at its best. Never has the church reached such a high spiritual level as this church did. And these things he commend them for are wonderful things. But he always had a word of commendation first, and then a word of condemnation. But as we've noted, there are 2 exceptions to that, and we'll see one of them in the next church that we visit and see here. Now, he says in verse 4, a word of condemnation. Nevertheless, I have against thee that thou hast left thy best love. That seems ever so trivial. Why does he say that? What he's really saying, that you're leaving your first love. They hadn't departed. Well, it's difficult for us in this cold, indifferent day in which we live, in this very skeptical and cynical age in which we live, where the church is so caught up in the things of the present. In other words, the world has intruded into the church today in a very definite way. But you and I can't conceive the intense and enthusiastic devotion to the person of Christ that the early church had. The Holy Spirit had brought the believers in Ephesus into an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ, whereas they could say to him, as I trust that you and I can today, "Lord Jesus, I love you." And they were getting away from that first love. I tell you, Ephesus, with all of its attractions, and was a great city, it was beginning to draw them away. And it was this church that became such a potent church in evangelism. That entire area, probably 25 millions of people, and even the Roman emperors and the nobility that attended there, they all heard the gospel. They had an opportunity to hear it, and they saw a moving of the Spirit of God that probably has not been duplicated since then. But every now and then we meet someone that has been brought into that close personal relationship with Christ. There are many men we could mention. I'm just going to use one example today. David Brainerd, the missionary to the Indians in this country. He was suffering with what was known in that day as consumption, or today as tuberculosis. And he would travel along by horseback, and sometimes he'd have a regular convulsion, vomit blood, become unconscious, fall off his horse, lie in the snow there. And when he'd do that, the horse learned to just stay right there. When he came to, he'd crawl back on the horse on his way out to preach to the Indians. Why, he would cry out, "Lord Jesus, I've failed you, but you know that I love you." Oh, how these folk had been brought in the past into such a close, intimate, personal relationship with Christ. And friends, that's the all-important thing today. We are so involved in methods. I get rather amused at all of these Band-Aid courses that are making Band-Aid believers. It's some little legal system generally, where if you follow certain rules and you observe certain psychological patterns, you're going to solve all your problems. You'll be able to get along with yourself. And that's a pretty good order right there. And then you can get along with your neighbors. You can get along with everybody, and especially your wife. All of those things are very important, and they are the problem today. And a great many people think if they get a few rules, and they think that solves the Christian life. May I put it in a nutshell? Do you love Jesus Christ? Now, I don't care what your system is, your denomination is, your program is, your little set of rules. They all come to naught if you don't love Him. And if you love Him, well, some systems are better than others, but most any system will work. If you love Him, that's the important thing. And it will make your relationship to Christ, your service, it'll make everything more beautiful, more wonderful. The story's told in New England years ago when they had so many cotton mills there. Two girls worked in a cotton mill. One of them quit, and the other one quit later and got married. And so they hadn't seen each other for a long time. They met on the street, and this girl had quit first said to the other, "How are you getting along?" And she said, "Fine," says, "I got married." And she had asked her the question first. She says, "Are you still working?" And she said, "No, I'm not working. I got married." And you talk about working. Well, that girl, when she worked in that mill, she watched that clock every evening. When 5 o'clock came, I tell you, she's walking out of there. She's got her hat on. She's on the way out. And it was hard work, and she didn't like it at all. Now she's married. And is she working now? Well, she said she's quit working. She got married. But if you go and see, she married this fella, and she gets up of a morning, she fixes his lunch, and that's early. And then she throws arms around him, tells him goodbye. And then all day long, she's working with two little brats. I should say two little angels. They're hers. And my, I tell you, they keep her busy. And then when 5 o'clock comes, well, she begins dinner. She doesn't quit work. She starts cooking dinner. Along about 6 o'clock, here comes the husband. And she's right there at the door to throw arms around his neck and tell him how much she missed him that day. You know, friends, when you come home of an evening and there's nobody there to greet you and you open the door and step in and a voice from way upstairs or way somewhere in the house says, "Is that you?" The honeymoon's over, friends, when that takes place. But this girl, you see, she's in love and she's not working anymore. But do you think she quit working at 5? She just really got going, feeding those children and putting them to bed. That's not easy. And I tell you, she was weary when she finally got in bed. And this poor girl, she's not working. That's the difference. I tell you, friends, when church work becomes a burden to you, there's something wrong with your relationship with Christ. When you get that straightened out, other things will get straightened out also. Now, will you notice what he says here? That you're getting away from your first love, your best love, the Lord Jesus. And that is the solution.